God, you've called your people together here in this place, and I thank you. And I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that we would see your heart in your word, and we would see your plan in your church. And God, we just love you. We thank you so much for what you want to do in us. We thank you for never leaving us alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you like roller coasters? Raise your hand if you like roller coasters. Raise your hand if you despise roller coasters. Nice. This is personality profiling right here. Some people really like roller coasters. They like the slow ascent and the rapid crashing controlled feeling that terrifies other people and makes them throw up. Some people love flying. Some people hate it. Some people love turbulence. We had turbulence in an airplane, and I'm like, this is fun. And everybody, you know, other people in the they're Facebooking prayer requests out to everybody they know. Have you ever been on an emotional roller coaster? Okay, yeah. Well, it's the holidays, so I assume that you have. And the Adele album recently came out, so I'm sure that has helped with the emotional roller coaster thing. It can be fun or not so much fun. I would like to take you on a roller coaster today, if you will. Does anybody remember the Orient Express? The Zambezi Zinger? Oh, these are old school. Well, this roller coaster is uniquely named, and it's just called the Psalms. It's the Psalms, and it's awesome. Well, before we jump into the roller coaster that is the Psalms, why? Well, frankly, all I want to do today is pique your interest in the Psalms. Maybe you've read them in the past. Maybe you love the Psalms and you read them all the time. Either way, I want to take this time today to reimagine the Psalms, to maybe restir in you something that loves the Psalms, because we need the Psalms. Just enough of a taste that you want more. I can't teach you that much about the Psalms. I really can't. But if I stir up in you a desire to read the Psalms and to dive into them in the rest of your life, I will have succeeded greatly. And you will have access to tremendous wealth and blessing that is the Psalms. So my goal is very simple, and that is to invite you into the chorus of the church. What has for so long, for millennia, been the songs of the people of God, for their times and for our times, to remind you of the prayer book of God's people. Basically, this message is an intro to the Psalms. It's the first part of a series that I'm not going to finish. It's just the first part of a series. But I will leave you with the Psalms, and you will be better for it, I think. Okay, so before the geniuses at Pixar figured out how to make us laugh and cry at the same time, or before Furious 7 somehow got all these people who were watching a car movie to sob their eyes out, there was the Psalms. So buckle up. I'm going to read a good section of Psalms. And I want to invite you to listen to these Psalms with your heart. We come from a tradition that loves to analyze Scripture, and that's good and that's very healthy. And we know very much how to love God with our mind and how to look at Scripture with our mind. And that's very good. But I want to invite you to listen to these Psalms with your heart, because many of them were written from the heart. Okay? Psalm 1. Move this down. That'd be better. All right. Okay. Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Should I switch mics? Should I go to this?
That sounds. There's a hive of bees in here.
It's my heart stirring.
It must be.
Let's try this. Check, check. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Is that better?
Turn it on.
Yeah, this is on. This one's off. All right. Well, there's a bee shortage, right? No, we found the bees. Okay, that was Psalm 1. How about Psalm 6, 6 and 7? I am worn out from sobbing. All night I flood my bed with weeping, drenching it with my tears. My vision is blurred by grief. My eyes are worn out because of all my enemies. 18, 1 through 6. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise. He saved me from my enemies. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Oh, the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. O Lord my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. And then a few verses later in the same psalm. For troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I cannot see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head, and I have lost all courage. 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. 94. O Lord, the God of vengeance. O God of vengeance, let your glorious justice shine forth. Arise, O judge of the earth, and give the proud what they deserve. How long, O Lord, how long will the wicked be allowed to gloat? How long will they speak with arrogance? How long will these evil people boast? They crush your people, Lord, hurting those you claim as your own. Come on. They kill widows and foreigners and murder orphans. The Lord isn't looking, they say, and besides, the God of Israel doesn't care. Think again, you fools. When will you finally catch on? Is he deaf, the one who made your ears? Is he blind, the one who formed your eyes? He punishes the nations. Won't he also punish you? He knows everything. Doesn't he also know what you are doing? The Lord knows people's thoughts, and he knows they are worthless. 123. I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy, just as servants keep their eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We have had more than our fill of the scoffing of the proud and the contempt of the arrogant. 140. let my enemies be destroyed by the very evil they have planned for me. Let burning coals fall down on their heads, and let them be thrown into the fire or into watery pits from which they cannot escape. Do not let liars prosper here in our land and cause great disasters to fall on the violent. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. All the feels right there. I feel like I just watched Inside Out. Oh, it's exhausting. But really, you know what this feels like? Life. This feels to me very much like life. You see, the big point with the Psalms is that the Psalms will never, ever, ever teach us how to be super Christians. They won't. The Psalms will teach us how to be human Christians. I'm going to say that again. The Psalms, the Scriptures in their entirety, will not teach us how to be super Christians, how to know all the right answers and do all the right stuff. The Psalms teaches us how to be human Christians with all the ups and all the downs and all the feels, all the emotions, and yet still talk to God and love Him and follow Him. Author and theologian N.T. Wright said this. He said, "The celebration in the Psalms is wild and uninhibited. The misery is deep and horrible. One moment we're chanting, perhaps clapping our hands in time or even stamping our feet. And the next moment we have tears running down our cheeks and we want the earth to open up and swallow us." Sounds like life. The Psalms identify our humanity and actually allow us to be human and follow God at the same time. And I think that's really important, and I don't want us to lose that. The Psalms, N.T. Wright goes on to say, the Psalms not only insist that we are called to live at the intersection of God's space and our space, of heaven and earth, or in other words, to be temple people, they call us, the Psalms, call us to live at the intersection of sacred space, the temple and the holy land that surrounds it, and the rest of human space, the world where idolatry and injustice still reap their misery. See, the Psalms allow for this full spectrum of emotions that I just love. Whereas sometimes we don't. And I've talked about this a lot with a lot of people in counseling scenarios and in churches, in youth groups. The Psalms allow us to be fully human and to feel all of the emotions, the good ones and the bad ones and the hard ones and the fun ones, and still follow God and still talk to Him and communicate with Him. The Psalms speak to core needs. Again, I'm trying to sell you on the Psalms. I really am, and I'm not ashamed of this. I don't get any kickbacks, except that I have from the Psalms. The Psalms speak to core human needs without resorting to cliche. And we need that because we love cliche. Simple things we say when somebody's suffering just roll off of our tongue very, very fast. And usually they're dumb. And the Psalms never resort to cliche. They allow things to be a mystery. And they allow things to be unexplained. And they allow the ups and the downs with God. The Psalms also teach us to pray. On the one side, not avoiding uncomfortable feelings, but they also teach us to pray, even or maybe even because of the uncomfortable emotions. The psalmist can say, "Why have you abandoned me?" I love this. While at the same time believing that the one who abandoned him is actually still listening to him. You see that? Why have you abandoned me? But I know that you're hearing me because you haven't abandoned me. But why have you abandoned me? Ah! Because sometimes it feels that way, does it not? It does. It really does. And the psalmists, all of the psalmists know that. And they write that. And we need that. The range of emotions addressed and allowed in the Psalms is much wider than what we typically be comfortable with in our churches. So, let me continue to make the case for the Psalms. Here it goes. N.T. Wright again said, "The Psalms are among the oldest poems in the world, and they still rank with any poetry in any culture, ancient or modern, from anywhere in the world. They are full of power and passion, horrendous misery, unrestrained jubilation, tender sensitivity, powerful hope. Anyone at all whose heart is open to new dimensions of human experience, anyone who loves good writing, anyone who wants a window into the bright lights and dark corners of the human soul, anyone open to the beautiful expression of a larger vision of reality, should react to these poems like someone who hasn't had a good meal for a week or two. It's all here." That's not us. We've had a good meal in a week or two. But I'll give you a couple more quotes, and then we're going to look at Jesus. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, famous theologian, German martyr, said, "Whenever the Psalter, whenever the Psalms is abandoned, an incomparable treasure vanishes from the Christian church." He went so far as to say the Psalms impregnated the life of early Christianity. For a long time, we prided ourselves on being, you know, pretty close to early Christianity. The Psalms impregnated the life of early Christianity. So they should for us too, I think. Right? Full spectrum of emotions, full spectrum of scriptures, actually. From the creation story to the law, the history, it's in the Psalms. Prophecies about Jesus is in the Psalms. Eternity, it's in the Psalms. Martin Luther actually said, "The Psalms promise Christ's death and resurrection so clearly and picture his kingdom and the condition and nature of all Christendom," this is Martin Luther speaking, "that it might well be called a little Bible." He said, "In it, in the Psalms, is comprehended most beautifully and briefly everything that is in the entire Bible." He wasn't saying you shouldn't read the rest of the Bible. He was just saying the Psalms are pretty important. Satan quoted the Psalms. I don't recommend that. Jesus loved the Psalms. Of all of the Old Testament verses that Jesus quoted, books of the Bible that Jesus quoted, the Psalms are top. So the top four, Jesus quoted the most from Exodus, Isaiah, Deuteronomy, and then the book that Jesus himself quoted the most was the Psalms. Now what's interesting to me is I was looking at all of the times that Jesus himself quoted the Psalms, almost all of the times when Jesus quoted the Psalms, bad stuff was happening in his life. And it makes me think, if when Jesus hit hard stuff, he reverted to the Psalms, how much more do I need the Psalms in the hard stuff? So, for example, I can give you the citations later if you want. And by the way, some of these books that I'm quoting from, I put on the Redbridge Facebook page, links on the Redbridge Facebook page, so you can see it there. So, when Jesus was speaking to angry leaders who were mad at him because he had healed someone, he quoted the Psalms. When he was dying on the cross, he quoted the Psalms. When he was hated without cause, he said, "Hey, the Psalms predicted this." When he was talking about his upcoming betrayal, he quoted the Psalms. When the Jews wanted to stone Jesus for claiming to be God, he responds with a line from the Psalms. When Pilate asks, "Are you the Son of God?" he responds with a psalm. He quotes the Psalms to the chief priests and the elders after they have challenged his authority. And then when he's foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, he references the Psalms. Wow. When stuff was not going great in Jesus' life, where does he go in the scriptures? He goes to the Psalms. Now again, he quoted a lot of other passages too in his teachings. But when push came to shove, he quoted the Psalms. Yeah, I think we should too. It's not a great idea to pack for a trip after the trip has started. You know what I mean? Silly. I know this. You need to pack a few weeks, months ahead of time for a trip. Well, I think that we should start packing the Psalms into our life before we really, really need the depths of them. Because when push comes to shove, that's not the time to be like, oh yeah, what do the Psalms have to say about stuff? No. We know that life's going to throw stuff at us. We know that stuff will be hard. Theologically, we desperately need the Psalms. The church needs the Psalms. I need the Psalms. Emotionally, we need the Psalms. And Jesus knew them and used them. Okay, so how? Again, this is just the first part in a series that I'm not going to complete. But how? How do we get the Psalms into us as a church or into us individually or as a family? Well, you could read them. It's great. Try reading them. You can read them in a lot of different ways. You could read them in order. There's all sorts of stuff. Or you could read a bunch each day. There, if you start off with, like, if it's the 5th, and you read Psalm 5 and 35 and 65 and 95 and then whatever, 125, you will have read all of the Psalms in the month. And you just read the Psalms each month that way. Sing them. Pray them. Famous preacher said, I read the Psalms. He said, I've read the Psalms, 5 Psalms a day for all of my career because they teach me how to be in a relationship with God. They teach me how to get along with God, is what he said. I read the Proverbs because they teach me how to get along with people. And I love that. The Psalms teach us how to get along with God. The Proverbs teach us how to get along with people. Pray them, especially when you have no words to pray. Bonhoeffer actually said, it can be very painful to want to speak with God and not to be able to. In other words, I want to talk with God. I want to pray. I know I should. But I don't have any words left. Bonhoeffer said that is precisely when you pray the Psalms. Because he admitted it can be very painful to want to speak with God and not to be able to. Have you ever found yourself in that place? Try the Psalms. Pray them back. Okay? Okay. I want to try one thing, and we'll be done. A lot of this has sort of come to the top, I suppose, for me, because in Cambodia, in dealing with young Cambodian believers and just the Cambodian culture, the willingness to feel difficult emotions is just not there. Nobody wants to feel it. Don't talk about that. To talk about that, that was in the past. Well, they have a genocide that was in the recent past, so they have a lot to remember or a lot to shove down and never remember. So through prayer and talking with some older missionaries, I developed this way of trying to allow the Psalms to touch those places of feeling in the Cambodians' world. And then I realized this works for me and for the international people that I was dealing with from all over the world. And so I do this all the time in a pastoral counseling role and with myself. This week, it's Thanksgiving. There's a lot going on. Both of my parents are dead. There's a lot going on in my own life. And I used this, what I'm about to show you, I used this week for myself and felt like God really spoke and healed some places that were really painful. And so this is one way to interact with the Psalms. And I have a hand motions, so you can remember, so I can remember. And I'm going to ask you to do that too, so heads up. So first off, it's holding the Psalm. So go ahead. It's okay. So you're holding the Scripture, okay? And you're reading it or whatever. And you do this with any passage of Scripture, but particularly the Psalms. So you're going from your hands to your heart and saying, what is the emotion that is present in this Psalm? Okay, or this story. What's the emotion that is present in this Psalm? And then you go into your head. Have I ever felt that emotion? We just made it safe to feel because somebody felt it in the Psalms. It's in the Psalms. So we hold the Scripture. We read it. What is the emotion in the passage? Have I ever felt that? Is there any memory, any time when I have felt that? Then we're going to turn to God in prayer and say, God, please help. Here we go. Okay, so we're turning to God in prayer. Then we're going back to our mind and asking God to help us remember or realize or see, are there any lies that I believe about myself or about God or about other people based or like from that memory, that time when I felt that? Any lies I believe, and then we're back to the heart. God, can you reveal the truth to hear? Your truth, what you want me to know to my heart. And then back to the hands, who do I share this with now? Who do I share this truth with now? And I have seen this. I've seen it work in my own life and in Cambodians' lives and international people as well, and a few Americans. So let's try this again. I'm going to explain it one more time, and then I have you turn to your neighbor and explain it. And then I want to give you one more example. Okay? So here it goes. So you're starting with the scripture. You're going to hold the passage. Right? And then you're going to go to your heart. Okay? And say, what is the emotion that is in that passage? And then to your mind, have I ever felt that emotion? When is the time, memory, a time that I felt that? They're returning to God in prayer. God, please help. Yeah. They're coming back and asking God to help us see, are there any lies that I believe about myself or you or others? And then God, what is the truth? Can you reveal the truth here? And then back to the hands. Well, who do I share this with? Okay. All right, so turn to your neighbor and try to help each other out. And do that, okay? Go. Everybody, I'd like everybody to try to explain this. Is that working? Do you get it? All right, help me out here. What's this? We're going to hold the scripture, we're going to read the scripture, and then we're going to... All right. Wait, what's the emotion in that passage? What's the emotion there?
Have I ever felt?
Okay. All right, you got this. Yeah, that's good. All right. What? You want to stand up and share it with us? Right. Share that with us.
Okay. Have I ever felt this way before? And then you realize, yes. And it's like you give it to God. God, help me. And, oh.
Does that help out? Help? Sorry, go for it.
And then bring it back down and think about the lies that I tell, that I know about myself or others around me. And I put it back in my heart, ask God to
help her out.
Help me the truth. Right.
Help me out. Do what?
Show me the truth.
Oh, show me the truth. And then who can I share it with?
Awesome. Very good. Yeah. I dare you to do this. Right. It's a different way of interacting with the scripture. It's not the only way of interacting with the scripture. I'm not saying that. But it is one way of interfacing with the Psalms. And it has blessed my life tremendously. And I have been with people and led them through this process and seen God break through with tremendous truth to them. For example, I had one Cambodian young man. Again, it's very hard for some of Cambodians and some of us as well to admit to negative emotions. I'm not supposed to feel any bad thing. Some of us have no problem feeling a bad thing. Some of us have a very hard time saying, I feel whatever it is. I feel depressed. I feel angry. I feel homicidal. I mean, I feel like I want people to die. Okay. I worked at Truman. I dealt with that too, but... But a lot of us don't feel comfortable admitting that feeling. And we don't admit that feeling, that we are not able to interact with God about that feeling. And then it stops there. So in Cambodia, it's very much the case. And so I had a guy, a young guy that I was discipling. And we read through some passages where the psalmist is saying something like, God, why have you abandoned me? And I asked this guy, I said, okay, so let's do this process. And okay, so he saw, oh, well, the guy feels abandoned. Okay. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that? Well, yes, I have. It's now safe to say that I have because it's in the Bible. I just read it in the Bible. It's safe. Yes, I have felt very much abandoned. Okay, so then he turned to God and prayed, what's the lie that I will have believed, that I believe through that? And very simply, and usually it's very, very simple, it's very core, he said, I believed that I was all alone. That's big. I am alone. And that impacts an entire life to believe that I am alone. Because of this thing that happened to him, he felt abandoned. The lie was, I am alone. And so then he just prayed. I can't remember if he prayed or I just prayed. Hey, God, what is the truth that you want to show this guy? And he started crying. And he said, well, I remember that Jesus actually prayed that psalm. And said, God, why have you abandoned me? And he said, Jesus knows what I feel like. Jesus felt abandoned too. That means I'm not alone. Wow. I mean, I could have lectured him and told him that, but it would not have meant the same as him connecting the dots. This is God through the working of the Holy Spirit connecting the dots in this guy's heart and seeing and feeling this truth. That's very much truth. That's why I dare you to try it. He wasn't alone anymore because Jesus was with him as someone who knew and understood. Okay. Let me read Psalm 150 one more time as we kind of wrap up here. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. On the Redbridge Facebook page is also a video, just like a 3-minute video, where I go through that same process again if you want a reminder. It's on there or on our website. This psalm says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know that's why the church does missions, right? It's because right now, not everything that has breath is praising the Lord. It's an outward focus. But soon, at the dawning of the new day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's a picture of new heaven and a new earth, where everything and everyone will indeed praise the Lord. A raucous noise will be heard, and a shout fit for the king will be shouted. And I want to be there singing, shouting, playing for him. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you.